Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Scummy Mummies podcast. This episode is brought to you in partnership with Visit England.
Oh, I love Visit England, Ellie, because I love England.
Mm, and I love visiting, as you know.
I know!
And visiting England is especially brilliant because obviously it's quite near, seeing as we actually live in England.
It is so easy to visit England when you're in England.
It's very low effort, yes.
It's so good. Yeah. What I love about England, you know, it's not just cities, it's right. Not just towns. You've got your seaside, your hills, your outdoors, your indoors, Ellie.
All manner of places.
It's unbelievable. Millions of places to visit in England.
And if you want to find out more about the different places you can visit in England, why not go to visitengland.com? Get this, Helen, they've now got a Peppa Pig hub on their website. I know I had you at hub.
I know.
and it lists like Peppa's top five, like, you know, types of places to visit in England, like olden days, like museums, great outdoors, seaside, indoor adventures and playtime.
Oh, there's loads of things you can do in the Peppa hub. You can watch clips of the show at Peppa and Her Travels, download an activity sheet for the kids and find loads of great places to go through an interactive Peppa map. I am inspired.
I thought you might be. Yes. So to find out more, go to visitengland.com.
Great. I'm going to go right now.
Well, not now, because we've got a podcast.
Fair enough. Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And guess what, Ellie?
I know what, but go on.
We're in Julia Bradbury's house with Julia Bradbury.
What's that like? I mean, if Julia Bradbury wasn't here, that might be a bit weird.
I know, but she's actually here in her home.
I'm actually here and I've made you a cup of tea. Hello, ladies.
Oh,
I'm so excited to have the Scummy Mummies in my house, I can't tell you.
Oh, we're very excited to be here. It's just like I imagined. It's basically a tent, isn't it?
Yes, you know me.
So outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy, yeah, exactly.
Can't move for shovels and willies. That's, I mean, it's lovely.
There's no roof. It's very outdoorsy.
Yeah,
it's
lovely.
And there's Matt Baker somewhere in the distance.
Yeah, he's going, it's amazing. Yeah.
Most people have a cat, you've got an otter.
Outdoorsy. Well, I like to teach the children early on about the danger of animals with sharp teeth, so it's good to keep them at home.
Oh, well, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, come on in.
And I thought you'd be going for 4 or 5 years, but no. How long?
Nearly 7 years.
That is amazing. And you've got such a huge fan base, and I am one of those. Big fan, and have been listening avidly to lots and lots of your podcasts. I have a few favourites.
Oh, yeah. There we go. But enough about us, Julia Bradbury. Who are you, Julia Bradbury? Tell the listener, specifically perhaps the one in North America who's not as familiar with Countryfile.
Right, okay. Hello, North America. So my name is Julia Bradbury and I'm a UK-based television presenter. And I suppose my genres would fall into the outdoor category. I'm mad about the outdoors and I do lots of walking programmes all around the UK. But I've also done my fair share of travel programmes around the world. And currently on UK television is a series that's very close to my heart, because it's me basically travelling around the Greek islands. But it's not just a jolly, ladies.
Although, I'm going to see you in Ayia Napa. Yeah, vodka luge. Julia Bradbury does the vodka luge. That's what the people
Cyprus,
want.
Not Greece, but anyway.
Oh, sorry. That's quite bad, isn't it? Sorry, Ayia Napa and Greece and also Cyprus.
Yes. I'm Greek because my mum is Greek, so I'm half Greek.
Good. Yep.
Yes, Greek. I don't mind. I'm not offended by the Cyprus thing. Just giving you a geographical pointer there. So my series at the moment in Greece has just been wonderful because it's a passion project. I came up with the idea, just the way you ladies probably did about this podcast, came up with the idea, took it to the commissioner. They said yes.
And what?
I was like, whoa! And then they went, but we got no money. So I was like, So then my very, very clever agent, Natalie, we knocked our heads together and we found the financing for it. And then we delivered the finished product with a brilliant production company. I have to say thank you to them as well. So we basically parceled the whole thing off. So now that I'm nearly 50, I've ticked a big fat sort of box, a bucket list box in my professional career, which is to see a project through from the very, very beginning, from its inception right through to the end.
So, Julia Bradbury, tell us about your family.
My family, my lovely family. So I am a bit of a late mum. I'm a late comer to the mumming game, because I sort of forgot about having children, basically. I was having such a good time with my career and life that I got to my mid-30s and went, shit, what? Oh, yes, that's
something,
right, children.
Something.
Yeah. Something's missing. Children, that's right. And I come from a very close family. I work with my sister, who's actually sitting quietly in the room, which is a one-off. She never sits quietly.
You've made her sit in the corner like Ruprecht from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. You've had this before with Helen McGinn.
Yes, right. She's behaving very well.
Have to sit in the corner silently. Yeah. It's nice.
So we are very close, and my lovely mum and dad were very, very gorgeous parents. So we've got a very special bond, and my parents are still alive. So family is very important to me. And as I said, I'd sort of just lost track of time and thought, oh God, I really need to get on with this children thing. So as it happened, I met the right person to do that with. And we tried to have children. Well, we had a little boy, a lovely little boy called Zeph, 8 years ago, who just was life-changing in the way that you know that babies can be, for all the good reasons I'm going to stick with at the moment. Let's not go down the scummy route. Let's stick with the positivity and the happiness. And then I was desperate. I had him at 40, so I was really, like, you know, pushing it at that stage. And I was desperate for him to have siblings, because I thought, well, we're old, we'll die soon, and he's going to be on his own, and I didn't want that. And I think there just is something inbuilt. Other friends and women that I've spoken to, you either have that feeling or you don't. And it was definitely an internal drive for me that I felt that he needed siblings. So we went down the IVF route, and that was pretty tricky. And I had 5 rounds of IVF. Oh, gosh. I missed miscarriage in the middle of all of that. So I had one night where I was in excruciating pain, but didn't know what was going on. Mm. And actually nothing seemed to be wrong. And then I went for a scan for the first week, and because I knew that I was pregnant at that stage. And my specialist said to me, I'm really sorry, there's no heartbeat. But you know, the embryo is still in there. So then I had to go through all of that process. It's not called a DNC anymore. It's called something else.
No, but that's what people would know.
But that's, basically they have to remove what's left inside. Yeah. So that was all very traumatic and very sad. And I sort of gave myself a few more chances. I thought, okay, well, I'll have another go. And I think I ended up having another 2 goes. And on the 5th attempt, it's a long story that I won't take everybody down that path, but eventually I went to Greece. I took time off from work, which I had never done before, and that's where I found out I was pregnant.
Oh.
Which is very lovely, because it sort of completes the circle of my heritage as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
So there we go. And now I have 2 lovely...
You met a lovely waiter.
Yeah,
it's just like Shirley Valentine.
No, there was a father at this stage. I'd work that bit out.
Oh, that's amazing.
And now I have a little boy who's called Zeph, which is Zephyrus, which is a Greek name, and he's 8. And I have 2 gorgeous little twin girls who are called Xena and Xanthi, which are also Greek names. And they are just, they'll be 5 in a few weeks.
But come on, deep down, Julia Bradbury, are you a scummy mummy?
Of course.
Of course you are.
We're all scummy mummies, aren't we, deep down? Oh, my God. I mean, people always ask you, what are the advantages of being an older mum? And you go, well, you're wise and you have experience and you're financially solvent-ish. And
free bus fare.
Yeah, free, exactly, when you get to that age. But of course, you're a bit more knackered.
Yeah.
I like to think I've got quite a good imagination and I'm quite adventurous with my kids. So we do fun things. But I have never, ever, ever been a morning person. Mm. Even on shoots when I'm filming, my crew know whatever needs to be done first, get that done first and then haul me out of bed.
That's
because
right.
I'm just bad. My eyes are closed. I'm really grumpy. And it's, unfortunately, parenthood did not change that in any way.
Yeah.
So scummy mummy, number one sort of bad trait is on the weekends, we're very strict with the kids with screen time and everything, but at the weekends, they know my weak spot. So they know that if they come into me at 7 o'clock in the morning and go, Mummy, Mummy, can we watch a film? I'm going to say, yes.
Yeah. Just go away.
Roll over into the pillow.
The Godfather Part 2 is already in the DVD player.
Yes. Just press play.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Horsey Mummy. Ah!
Don't ride it.
You can't now.
Yeah. So mornings, not so good. Afternoons, I'm your mum.
You're back in the game.
I'm back in the game. Let's go to the park. Let's do Scrabble. Let's do Just Dance, whatever it is. Let's
Scrabble in the park. That sounds like a logistical nightmare. One gust of wind
and you're gone and you're lost.
Ruined.
No triple word score for you.
No.
Ludicrous.
No.
I was going to ask what your biggest parenting challenge. It sounds like mornings.
Mornings are my biggest parenting challenge, and also balancing the work, the work thing. My career is very important to me because it's such a strong part of my identity, and obviously I've done that much longer than I have been a mum. And I also think it's important for my kids to have a role model in terms of working. You know, they're going to have to work. I've got boys and girls, and I find my job very fulfilling. I mean, it's, you know, the Grease series obviously sounds amazing, but that's not just what I do. There are other jobs that I do, but it's very satisfying. I'm learning all the time. I meet new incredible people all the time. Yes, I've travelled the world and been to some incredible places, and all of that I think is important knowledge and experience and wisdom that I can slowly drip feed down to my little ease. So yeah, it's the challenge of juggling is a big one.
Have you ever turned upright somewhere to do like a telly programme, which as you know is your job, and gone like this is rubbish, like this is really bleak, this is not what I was expecting, this is miserable, how am I gonna pretend this is nice for the telly?
Right, so I'm quite lucky now because I'm old now and because I've been around for a long, long time. I can sort of pick and choose my jobs. So I'm also very good. I will always have a meeting with the production team and get a first off instinctive feel about what the project is and how it's going to go and whether or not it's something that is this important enough? Am I going to enjoy it enough? Is the satisfaction level and the reward on screen, is that going to be good enough for me to leave my children at home and let somebody else look after them? And if the answer's no, then I just don't do the job.
And is that why you've never done a programme about Catford, Julia Bradbury?
That might be why I've never done a programme about Catford. Should I come to Catford?
Well, yes.
Is that, apart from you, lovely ladies, tell me something else that I should be unearthing about Catford.
Right, first of all, there's a giant fibreglass cat. Have you not seen this?
In Catford?
Yeah, in Catford, yep. With it, like a claw overhanging the sign markets. Above the Catford News.
That's great. Again, back to my original question, what else should I be coming to Catford to look at?
I mean, there's the lovely stream through Ladywell Park. That's
Well, I'm all about... I have a personal motto, which is find your green. Hashtag find your green. So I say...
There's a very popular
Yeah.
Jesus.
You just have to walk down the street.
I don't mean find your vomit.
I don't mean
North
that
America.
There's a lot of green on the streets of Catford.
Yeah, well, 15 quid will get you quite a lot of green.
Oh, not that kind of green. No, sorry. That's not the kind of green I'm talking about.
She's so pure.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I was talking about that little, like your stream in Catford.
Yeah.
Find your local park, find your local stream, find your local canal. Go and find a little bit of nature because it just does you so much good. And that's sort of really much. So maybe that's why I should come to Catford in search of.
And I'm going to offer an outdoorsy tip. If you can't even find the green, look for the knobs.
Right.
So recently, as Helen and I may have mentioned, we're training for the London Marathon, right?
Yes.
We're doing the marathon.
I've seen your gorgeous posts on Instagram as well.
Thank
doing
you.
Very well. One of you ran 10 miles yesterday.
Yes, it was me.
Yeah.
And Ellie did 26.
26K.
We will be doing 26 miles eventually.
At some point. But so we have to do these super long runs, right? And I do mine from my house in South East London, Catford, all the way up down the river and along Bermondsey and up towards Waterloo. And some of it is lovely and green and some of it is not. So to sort of amuse myself, I've started doing little city tours, but of the different aspects of London that one might not normally come across. For example, outside Lewisham Library, there's a big sign saying Lewisham Library, and you think, yes, libraries, you know, literacy, culture, and someone's just spray painted an enormous dong on it.
Oh.
So I did an Insta story about that, and it was hugely popular.
I'm sure.
People were like, yes, more of
come
this.
See this.
Gillian Anderson does a lot of penis-related
does
posts.
She?
Yes, I think she looks for penis shapes in all sorts of everyday...
You need to get her on the show.
You need to get her on the show, and you need to check, she might inspire you.
The truth is out there, and also the dicks are out there.
A lot of dicks out there.
Yeah,
so there
we go. Now, I have to say this one. Speaking of Instagram and all of that, I told my dad we were coming to see you today, Julia.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with his work?
I'm not familiar with his work.
Well,
your dad's a comedian.
Well, ex-semi-professional, semi-retired, whatever. But sometimes he's on our Insta stories, right? So some of the listeners will know him. But I said I was coming to see you today, and he was very excited because it was your programme about the Coast to Coast Walk that inspired him and me in the end. I did it with him 10 years ago this May. It'll be, we did the coast to coast.
Yes, together.
That was your fault. That's what I'm saying. That
my fault.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to turn that around. Actually, Ellie,
Jim,
Jim. I would say, oh, isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
And I do feel really, it makes me warm and fuzzy when people write and they say it's because of you that I went up Catbells in the Lake District for the first time, or I now go walking 3 times a week with the dog, and or I did my coast to coast with my dad. And that's just a lovely thing. And I'm really pleased that it's my fault.
It was lovely, because for anyone who doesn't know, it's basically 192 miles, isn't it? It's like across the width of England,
it
basically.
It was a long distance walk devised by a Lake District fell walker called Alfred Wainwright, who is very famous here in the UK. And he wrote these pictorial guides over a 13-year stretch, which have become equally famous, and sort of the handbook to the Lake District. When you go to the lakes, you buy the right volume of your Wainwrights, and then you follow his words and his pictures, and he's very poetic and a little bit curmudgeonly in real life, but very lovely. And I did my first series of Wainwright walks on BBC Four more than 10 years ago. It's probably about 12, 13 years ago. And that really is what changed my television career and sort of set me on a different path. And then that arguably led to Countryfile.
And led to me and my dad
and led to you and your dad going on the coast to coast.
Let's be honest, it was a 200 mile pub crawl.
Yes.
Is what it was.
Yeah.
We basically walked from pub to, we'd stop in the afternoon for a cream tea at some lovely
and meet lots of nice Americans.
Lots of lovely people. And then we'd go and we'd have 3 pints and we'd go to bed, and we were very happy. So thank you for that. You know,
I'm pleased. And for all of you North American listeners, try it, the coast to coast.
But I was going to say, so Ellie and Jim did this amazing trip across England, but now we are touring England in a van, and I feel like echoes of that trip have come together in our tour, because we like to find a good pub.
Yeah,
we like to find a good curry house.
Lovely.
So I feel like we could do some kind of collabo.
We should do a collab, because I can like lean into you ladies, and what we can do with that is we can also find like a nice little hill or a nice little mountain or the nice little stream. We can link the whole things up, so we get a little bit of exercise and alcohol and curry.
Oh,
and cat suits.
And cat suit. I've got to wear a gold cat suit. I'm sorry.
We're going to make this happen.
Brilliant. I love that. I can see it now.
Ben Nevis could be in a gold cat suit with Julia Bradbury.
Yes. There we are. That's comic relief. Here we come.
Country smiling cat suits.
Yes. Yes, I will send an email as soon as we're done here.
Yes, exactly right.
So we are very lucky. We get to go all around the country. And we should say, Helen, of course, that this podcast, this episode, is sponsored by visitengland.com.
Oh, hello, Visit England.
Yes.
I know, we're in England right now.
We are.
This is very exciting.
And I visited it lots.
Yeah. This is why we need you, Julia Bradbury, because the Easter holidays are coming up. What are your top places for visiting in England?
The Lake District, of course, is stunning and beautiful. And there are loads of lovely places that you can stay in the Lake District, from posh hotels to campsites. Is it a bit cold for campsites?
At Easter, maybe heading into the May,
you're going, okay.
Summer break.
So
yes.
I'm the president of the Camping and Caravanning Club, the only female president in its history, which I'm very proud of. And they have a lovely campsite in Keswick, actually, in the Lake District. So I would say, you know, if you really do like a bit of adventure, then do a bit of camping. Where else? Rutland is also very lovely.
Where is Rutland?
So I grew up in Rutland. It's so fine. You don't need to know it, because it's okay that you don't, because it's the smallest county in England.
I went to university with it. My friend Vicky's from Rutland.
There we go. Yeah, so you know Rutland. So if you're heading up the A1 north and you're heading towards Peterborough and Stamford and Oakham and Burley House, all of those kinds of places, Rutland is there. It's like a little
nugget.
Sort of
in the middly bit.
In the middly bit, and it looks like a heart shape, and it has this stretch of water called the Rutland Reservoir. And you can go sailing, you can go fishing, you can go cycling around it. And there are lots of lovely places in Rutland that you can go to. And it's a pretty unknown gem. So
it's,
you know,
quite it's flat, isn't it?
But it's undulating, I would say. It's not rugged and wild, but it's not flat and boring. It's not as flat as Norfolk. I'm not saying Norfolk is boring, by the way.
No, we love Norfolk.
Lovely beaches, and that's another place.
I nearly cried on the, is it Hokham? Is that how you say?
Yes.
Hokham Beach, which is a beach that goes on forever, and Brancaster, that North Norfolk.
Oh.
I mean, can we just have it quickly? Speaking of Norfolk and Norwich, you're featured in one of our favourite books by Alan Partridge. There's a cameo of you in it. Do you know about this?
Well, I've heard little bits. I've heard he mentions me on some of his Atlantic radio shows, and I've seen some of that. I've heard him say that he wants a Bradbury pie. I want a Bradbury pie. Smother her in butter. Put her in the oven, 180. bumped your uncle or something like that.
Oh my God, sorry. There's a bit in one of his books where he bumps into you in the BBC and he goes, "Hello, Julia." And so often Ellie and I will say that to each other. "Hello, Julia."
I love it. Oh, okay, we've got to make this.
Is it the same where he comes out of the BBC and he sees Claire Balding on the steps of the Langham.
Balding by name, not by nature.
Talks about her lustrous hair.
Yeah, she has got a thick mane of hair.
Amazing.
Oh. Anyway, sorry, we're getting off piece. But yes, Norfolk is amazing. One of my favourite parts of England is West Wittering Beach.
Oh, beautiful. Becoming very popular now. The whole West Wittering. People are buying houses in West Wittering now, like their second homes. It's become quite right on with the London set that they're going and they're buying their beachfront property in West Wittering.
So, have you got a favourite nugget of corner of England? I mean, obviously you're a big fan of Catford and all that it offers.
Yes, and that roundabout.
I'm quite lazy, so I quite like places. I like Kent and Sussex, and you know, when I grew up, we used to spend a lot of time on the Sussex Downs and rambling away. And as a child, obviously, I hated it quite a lot of the time. But it was brilliant. It was, you know, out and about.
The thing is, I think even if you do hate it as a child, when I took my kids for a walk on Sunday, we went to Surrey. And we walked, you know, and then on the way back, they have to do the same room. They're like, "Oh," my little boy was going, "My legs are going to fall off, mummy." And my little girls, one of them's going, "Carry me, mummy, carry me." And I'm like, "No, walk. You must stride this out. Positive mental attitude." And they absolutely hated that last half hour. But it's good for them. It genuinely is. It's good for their mental resilience. Obviously, it's good for their physical fitness as well. And they will remember those things the way that you and I will remember the good times and the bad times. It's something that sticks with you for life. And the research has just proven time and time again that time spent outdoors, those kinds of things, kids don't get outdoors anymore, and it's scary. Mm. The amount of exposure that children have to outdoor landscapes has halved in a generation, and that is frightening because it really does help them their growth on an emotional level and their mental health as well, and all of us. It's good for all of us. Mm. And it seems like such a simple thing. And I'm not obviously saying that it's the answer to all mental health problems, but it certainly goes a long way to helping with a lot of issues. And all around the world now, lots of doctors are experimenting with prescriptions for outdoor time. Spend time outside, go for a walk every day. Apart from America, obviously, where they just like giving you more pills because that's how they make their money. have another prescription drug.
But yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, like as a parent, on the weekends, you're knackered, right? And you think, I could just stay in, or, you know, do you have any tips about, apart from just go get out of the house, you know, to motivate them? Because often when I say to my kids, "All right, kids, we're going to go to the, you know, historic house, or we're going to go to a, you know, a lake or something," they're like, "I don't want to do that.
I don't want to go." No, and you've just got to get good at lying, basically. I mean, you know, lie, tell them that you're going to an indoor play area or the cinema, and then suddenly spring a farm on them.
Oh no, the cinema suddenly looks like a park.
Hang on, and then you ping yourself a text. "Oh, the cinema's closed. There's a fire alert. Sorry, kids." Yeah. "Oh, never mind. Look, here's the local whatever." Yeah, just lie. I think that's the best way.
I always have like ice cream bribe or chip bribe, depending on the season.
Yeah. That's right. At the end of the, I think you'll have it. You can have an ice cream, or you can have a chocolate biscuit, or you can have marshmallow, whatever it is. Yeah. Bribery and corruption works every time. Also, the big thing is just getting yourself motivated, isn't it? It's like you've got. And I kind of think to myself, okay, you're an older mum.
Come on, Bradbury.
Pull yourself together. You can't be just an old, dull mum. You've got to do stuff for them and make it exciting. Otherwise, they're just going to go, "Oh, my mum was really old and boring when we were growing up. Never did anything." I was like, I don't want that. I can't have that on my credits.
No.
Yeah. And I do really like visiting England, obviously. Partly because I love going abroad as well, obviously. But it's a hassle, right? Especially if you've got to do airports and car seats.
Oh, yes. It's a whole different proposition.
When they're very little, it's a real bloody nightmare. Buggies and all this stuff. And I like that element of it. And I think, so if you're lazy, it's good, isn't it? And it is, you know.
And actually, I think statistically this year, bookings are up, staycations are up. People are... I think the whole Brexit thing has changed lots of minds and ideas about going to places.
It just sounds like
and
an also, absolute faff. You're like, I don't want any hassle. I like to just get in the car.
And am I going
to
get in? Is my passport going to work?
Will there be a Greggs? I mean, who knows?
Can I have a vegan sausage roll?
Not everywhere.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But so you are super passionate about getting people out into the outdoors. You've even set up a guide, Julia.
Well, that came about because I actually couldn't answer the questions anymore. People kept, and they still do, and it's lovely, don't stop, but they kept saying, where's your favourite place to go walking? And what walking boots do you like? And what's the best jacket? And do I need, how many layers do I need? Where should I go? All that stuff.
I'm like, how do you walk?
Yeah, how do you walk? Do you put what, left leg first or right leg first?
Well, what are legs?
Yeah, they're falling off. What do I do? So I came, my sister Gina and I came up with this idea that, well, what we should do is answer all of these questions on a web page. And then we thought, no, let's turn it into a website. You know, we were just moving into the 21st century, so let's go cutting edge. It's a moving, talking website, so it's called The Outdoor Guide. All of my television walks are on there. So if there's a TV walk that somebody sees, they go, oh, I like that, they can go and find that. They can download the route of that walk. It's an OS map that they download, which is fantastic. And everybody's quite familiar with the OS kind of mapping as well. And it's a free resource for everybody that goes on it. And that's what we do.
And what I love is that there's a map, Ellie, of England with Julia's face.
Oh, I hate that.
There's little faces of Julia where the walks are. So it goes...
Please, can you just get rid of that?
She's literally the face of England. I love it.
I think, you know, you have those little National Trust arrow things. Yeah, we should replace those with your face.
All on the motorways. We need more Julia Bradbury.
I keep saying, like, please just put an arrow or anything. It doesn't need to be my face.
It's like that scene in John Malkovich where he goes into himself.
It's like, Julia.
The map of Bradbury.
Bradbury's Britain.
Yes.
There we go.
That's another show right there.
Yeah.
What I saw on your website recently was a whole bit about buggies and access. And can you tell us about that bit?
Yeah, that's a really important part of the outdoor guide for us, is accessibility. So obviously there are lots of mums out there who have got their babies in tow and buggies, and a lot of the tracks aren't suitable. So we're developing a whole series of walks that mums can use with their buggies, which is great. And the other important thing about access is people who have mobility issues. We have an amazing ambassador called Debbie North, and she is wheelchair bound. So she goes and she test drives walks and hotels and places to see whether or not they are genuinely wheelchair friendly. And you can get, you know, some walks that claim to be accessible aren't, because they've got stiles in the way, or they've got gates or something that really prevents people with wheelchairs from having access. And the outdoors is important for everybody, especially people who have mobility issues, because it's their bit of green, and it's their time to sort of regenerate and revive themselves using the great outdoors. So yeah, we're really proud about that, and Debbie's doing an amazing job and is getting all sorts of awards and has become the champion of OS and all sorts of stuff. So
that's brilliant, because when we're touring, I feel like we have now mapped out the best curry houses, the nicest pubs, which are, you know, just
you know what, I think we might have to have a Scummy Mummies section of the outdoor guide.
I think so.
That's going to make we have that, it complements it beautifully.
Yes, we can feed in some of our knowledge.
So here are the curry places, here's the greatest pub,
the best Toby Carvery's in England.
Perfect. It's a broad church, the outdoors. It's a very
excellent,
that's brilliant. Look, so already we've got an episode of us in catsuits.
Yeah.
Or a series, I feel, maybe.
I know, exactly.
I just had another idea for perhaps an episode of the series.
Yeah.
So every year, my dad, as previously discussed, he does this thing called the New Year's Day Walk.
Yes. Right?
Which, it was very big in the 80s. Like, in the 80s, I was made to go on it, you know. There was
people
like,
still do the swimming thing, don't they, on New Year's
Day? Yeah,
freezing cold ridiculousness. Ooh,
yes. So this is the thing my dad does, and like, at its peak, sort of like 40, 50 people would turn up with kids and dogs, and we'd go on this walk, sort of 3 to 5 miles, and then we'd have lunch in the pub, or dinner in the pub afterwards, it was all very jolly. And over the years, he's kept it going every year. Numbers are up and down. Some people have literally died, things like that. This year, I think it was only about 6 people, but he still, you know, he pressed on, and they went. So I think this New Year's Day, because he doesn't listen to the podcast, he doesn't know what they are.
He might do now.
No. Well, now you're in it. Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'll cut this bit out. But what I think we should do is, for a surprise, we should turn up, because I haven't been for about 25 years.
Yes.
We should turn up on the New Year's Day walk with you.
Can you imagine?
And we should get, because people are always telling us on the Instagram how much they love Dad, we should invite all the Scummy Mummies readers to turn up at a pub in Kent and do the New Year's Day walk.
This has to happen, Ellie.
That is a great idea.
Now, it says here you've got a game for us, Helen.
I have a game. So, because Julia knows a lot about England and so do you, Ellie Gibson, I thought we'd have a Bradbury.
That's optimistic. I thought you knew me after 7 years.
Oh no, here we go. This is going to be bad.
So this is a game called That's Not My England, and which I thought it was topical.
Is this like This Is England, but without the football hooligans?
Okay. Yeah.
That's not my England.
Something similar with vaginas and book titles?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, great. So we can have some fun with this one then.
Yeah. So
can I put some vagina names in there?
You may, but I've got some real names and ones that I've made up. And you have to buzz in.
Yep.
To see which one, or say which one's true or false.
Okay.
So it's because I know you're both quite good at names of England. All right. Is this real or not? Is this England or not? Cock play.
Not real.
Not real.
It is real, and it's in Northumberland.
No.
Wow. Point to Thorn. next one. Minge Lane.
Yes, real.
Yes.
Yes. I've been there.
Extra point.
Is it?
Julia Bradley has been to
and it's a narrow, I think it's one of those old
university
green,
where you're very drunk.
Yeah, I think it's one of those old green lanes.
Oh, Minge Lane.
Minge Lane. There we go. Okay. Tits End.
Yes.
Not real.
Yes.
No, it's not real.
Oh,
point to, it's all even now.
One apiece.
Okay. Rimming Alley.
God, I hope not. But
isn't that a book set in the Middle East?
Rimming Alley.
It's not real.
That's right. I made that one up.
Yeah.
Okay. Scratchy Bottom.
No.
Yeah. Yes, it's real.
Oh, yes.
It's in Dorset.
Because there are some little bottoms and some big bottoms. I didn't think there'd be a scratchy bottom.
Sandy Knob.
Yes.
No.
Oh,
Julia.
Oh,
no. Okay.
No Sandy Knobs around here.
Okay. Sandy Balls.
Yes, exactly. We're all familiar with Sandy Balls in Hampshire.
I've stayed at Sandy Balls.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've got
appendicitis there. Very jolly.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a lovely story. Good time.
What's the hospital like?
Well, in sort of 1985, it was quite nice, but who knows these days? It's probably just a tent in a field.
Like my house.
Yes, exactly.
Wet Wang. Wet Wang.
No.
It is.
No.
Where is Wet Wang? East Yorkshire.
East Yorkshire. Wet Wang.
You'll find a Wet Wang in East Yorkshire. Should we do one more? Should we do a decider?
Yeah.
Fanny Hands Lane.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Lane.
She's been down that. She's been down Minge Lane.
Oh, there we go.
I think it was very close. Who's the winner, Ellie?
The winner is, let's say it's Julia, because otherwise she'll get the sack.
Yeah. She knows more about England than everybody.
Of course.
Yes.
Not.
Excellent.
No, you actually came third. Anyway, okay.
Third. Now, listener, it's time for my favourite part of the podcast. It's time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions. Now, Julia has actually listened to this podcast before, so she has come prepared. You have got some scummy confessions, haven't you?
I have got a couple of Scummy Mummy confessions. I would like to say that in my household, I was always the one that was going to be blamed for one of the kids swearing first, because I do swear quite a bit. But actually, I'm just going to say at this point, It wasn't me on this occasion. So I'll tell you this story. My partner is Irish and he has a thick Irish accent. And he was in the car and something went wrong and he went, feck it. And then my little boy said, what did you say, Daddy? What did you say? And he went, oh, you know, feck it, feck. It's a, and he tried to say it was some sort of bucket or whatever. And anyway, then my little boy just started saying, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, which we have on camera. So, but that wasn't my fault. So I was like, yes, it wasn't me. It was always going to be me. It was first. However, I had an incident with the shower a couple of years ago. So my little boy was about 6 at this stage. And we had a situation where there was water flooding down from the shower tray into the room downstairs. And I obviously was like running around, going, oh no, screaming there. I'm like going there with towels and trying to get the bucket underneath there. And 2 weeks later, fast forward, my little boy comes into my bedroom and goes, mummy, the fucking leak is here again. I think that was my bad because this is several That's years brilliant. Later. So that fucking leak has just been coming again and again.
That is excellent.
So there we go. So it's that one. And then the other one that my nanny kindly reminded me of was the time when I came home so late. It was actually daylight. I'd been to some awards thing. It was 6 o'clock in the morning and I came home and the kids were up for breakfast and my little girl's kids said, oh, mummy, you look so pretty. What? Where are you going? And I went, nothing, girls. Obviously, I was a bit dry. I just thought I'd dress for breakfast.
Please tell me it was in your role as the president of the camping and caravanning.
No, it was a glam. It wasn't one of those. It was some London shindig thingy madoodly. So I was in quite a glamorous frock. So I then sat there and forced muesli down my face so that I could actually have breakfast with them. And then I teetered off up the stairs and crashed.
Excellent. There we go. You are a scummy
man. Yay!
Lovely stuff. My scummy mummy confession is from nearly a decade ago when I went on the Coast to Coast walk with
the
Dad.
Seminal Coast to Coast with Jim. Inspired by me, ladies and gentlemen. Bradbury's walk, actually. Not Wainwright's at all.
And as you'll know, Julia, because you walk every day, right, and you kind of start, we start like on a Monday, and there's groups of people who start at the same time as you, and you kind of get chatting over a few days, and it's all a bit like Love Island without the fingering. It's very nice.
And they look very similar as well, the people on the Coast to Coast walk, just
exactly
saying.
Exactly the same. But yeah, you get to know people and you get to chat and stuff. And we became friends with this group, and there's about 6 men. And they were doing it just for some sort of jolly sort of lads. They were sort of middle-aged men. They were just doing it for a sort of jolly thing. It was all great. And we sort of got to know them after about a week. But they said to us at first, you know, they thought that we were real, like, nerdy, super nerdy, athletic rambler types. Because they were like...
Because you had all the gear. You had, like, had the anoraks.
Yeah, we had real twats. We had, like, matching Berghaus jackets because we'd gone to the shop and bought a damn...
Oh, we like that.
The best one.
And I, like...
Yeah, and they sort of gathered that we were father and daughter, but they were like, obviously, you know, they thought we were taking it really seriously and like we were probably a bit posh and a bit uppity. And then one day they were just a bit ahead of us and they heard us going up this hill and Dad was like, well, I don't know what it says on the bloody map. And I went, oh, fuck's sake, Dad, stop being such a cunt. And they said at that moment they knew that we were one of them.
That you were indeed an amateur rambler, yes. Just enjoying the great outdoors, exactly. The way we all
exactly.
can.
And that's when they decided we should all be friends. And then we were, and like afterwards one of them sent me pictures of us all at the end, and it was lovely. And when we got to the end of the final day of the 200 miles, one of them had Nimrod on a little walkman that they played. Oh, it was a marvellous time.
I did once have a very strange occurrence in the heydays of the Wainwrights when they were on the BBC, and they just used to play them all the time. They still get repeated a lot, but they were on constantly on BBC 4 and then BBC 2. So there was a lot of incoming traffic because of them. And I had the best picture. This group of walkers from the Lake District decided that they would call themselves the Julia Bradburys, and they got t-shirts made.
Oh my God.
And they all wore brunette wigs, and they were all blokes. They took pictures of themselves at the top of various fells as the Julia Bradburys and all the fells that they'd bagged, and I was like, oh, oh no. lads! Oh,
you've given me an idea for a map.
Oh, there we go. Yes.
Oh, amazing scenes. Oh. Wow. Well, there we go.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's been fantastic. Yeah. It's been too short. It's gone very quick. So I'm going to take you for a walk now.
Yes. Oh, yes, please.
We're going to go for a walk in the park, and I'm going to beguile you with the benefits of big fat squirrels in central
Excellent.
London.
Oh, sounds. Is that kind of drugs?
Yeah, it's like the big green. It's the big grey. Let me show you the big grey.
Yes,
you smoke it in a pipe.
And where can people find Julia Bradbury's Guide to Buying Green in England?
Oh, people can find out stuff about the walks and all that stuff on theoutdoorguide.co.uk. And depending on when this goes out, they can watch The Greek Islands with Julia Bradbury on ITV. And it'll be on the ITV Hub for quite a while. Yes, and then eventually it will be played all over the world, because I play in Australia and some of it goes to America. And there's a big Greek community around the world as well. So you'll see some of that sometime soon.
Excellent. Good times.
Amazing scenes.
Thanks again to visitengland.com for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. And you can follow them at Visit England on all of the social medias.
That's right. And we're on tour, everybody.
Yes, we are.
We're going up and down the country, all over England. All the dates and details are on scummymummies.com. And rate, review and subscribe to the podcast.
Oh, anything else?
No. We should mention our book.
Yeah, you should. I tell you what, let me ask you. Anything else to talk about, ladies? I mean, have you done a book, for example?
Why, Julia Bradbury, funny you should ask. We have done a book, and it is still in print.
Oh,
hooray!
Yes.
Is that the name, or is it still in print?
That's what we're thinking of calling the new edition.
Yeah, still in print.
Yes. Still in print. Exactly. Have you done any books you want to mention that are still in print?
They're still in print, but no, it's fine. Just go to the Outdoor Guide. You'll see whatever's left. Grab it.
Excellent. Oh, thank you so much
ladies,
for having us.
Gorgeous.
Julia. Loved it.
Excellent.
Loved it.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there we go. That was the podcast brought to you in partnership with Visit England. Did you enjoy that, Mae?
Oh, I am ready to go and visit all of England, Ellie.
Yes. Well, why don't you start with their website, which is, you'll be amazed to hear, visitengland.com.
How easy is that?
I know. It just about as easy as visiting England when you live in England, which, as we previously established, is quite simple.
Oh, I know.
And, of course, don't forget the Peppa Pig Hub, where you can watch clips from the show. There's activity sheets. Oh, there's an interactive Peppa Mac. All the things. It's amazing.
I've had so much fun on this podcast. And it just goes to show, you don't have to go far, and you just have little short breaks with the family, and you can make lots of lovely memories.
So there you go, visitengland.com. Go on!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.